Amen. All right. I must say, this room looks lovely today. We should dress like this every Sunday, between September and February. You know, it is amazing to be here, to be at this point in life, and to be with your soulmate. And Sari, she sings with her soul. And I'm so grateful that we're together, that we're here. And the part of the reason is because of this room, the community in this room, that we are here. And I just, again, want to thank you for that. Because when you really get it and you really understand, there's no we without thee. And so again, thank you so much. Thank you. All right. All right. So I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to try to get through this. And we're going to hopefully have some fun as we go along here. And I was thinking, you know, this is your last Sunday preaching to the Garden State Church. And you're not just the Garden State Church. This is family. And so you see a young man here who was a 20-year-old basketball junkie, college kid that is now middle age. Gray hair, no, white hair. I skipped gray, just went right to the white. Don't know all of how that happened, but I like it. And so I feel incredibly grateful because you've raised me up. Believe it or not. And Paul writes something in Philippians 1, 3 that I want to encourage us and remind us. He says in Philippians 1, chapter 3, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, it has been this September 26th will be 35 years in the faith. 35 years of walking and learning to walk with God and walking with you. And we don't just go to church together. We have lived life together. We have cried together. We prayed together. We've gave together. We've had all kinds of experiences together. And I do acknowledge, it's hard. I've been crying all week. Yeah, my eyes are red, not because, like, you know, I drink or something, or, you know, because I'm still just, amen, Lord. But we're only 35 miles away. We still have email. We have Facebook. I don't really do Instagram. But we're still connected. But the thing that we have most in common is our Heavenly Father. Because it is all about Him. And this morning, I want, more than anything, to be a reminder of what God has done in our lives and in your lives, so that we don't get distracted, that we don't allow change and transitions to cause us to forget the big picture, right? And so, although it's mixed emotions, I'm just super, super grateful to be here in this church, to be with you all, to have been able to serve you, your family, your kids. It has been an absolute blessing and a joy. And so I want to just, again, share some thoughts. Oh, faithful God, grateful heart. Faithful God, grateful heart. My first thought here is gratitude for God's faithfulness. In Lamentations 3:22, the Bible says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." In fact, every day you and I can be reminded of God's steadfast love. You know, I remember becoming a disciple, thinking, what in the world did I just do? Baptized at 1:30 a.m. in the morning. Where does that happen? What church is baptizing people at 1:30 in the morning? In a basement? With my Providence basketball shorts on. And here's what I knew. I knew I was lost. I knew I was in sin. And I wanted to get out. I wanted to be cleansed and clear and free and forgiven. And so I remember making that decision in Stegman Parkway, getting baptized at the Stegman House in Jersey City. Well, not too long after that, 2 months later, Sari became a Christian. Not too long after that, there we are. April 30th, 1994, standing at the holy altar, not knowing what we're getting into, but all we had was love, and we had some awesome people around us, and we said, "I do." That was 31 years ago. 2 years after that, we were asked to go, actually 3 months after that, we were asked to lead in Jersey City, Hudson County. Hudson County. We'll get to Gold Coast in a minute. So we were appointed evangelist and women's ministry leader. And that was a cool day. But again, what were you getting into? I don't know, but God is faithful. So, I want to share a little bit of my journey, our journey, on how God has been faithful.
Thank you.
God's faithfulness. See, I've experienced God's faithfulness. God made a promise and then he kept it. But why? But how? This is my conviction. Isaiah 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What's the conviction, Russ? The power is in the word. And all of those videos and seeing family members and baptisms, the power is in the word. When I look out at this room, the power is in the word. The changes have happened in our lives, not because we're awesome, but because we're wearing the best colors that can be worn on the earth. The power is the word of God has changed us. We heard it. Sometimes we heard it over and over, but somehow we internalized, we believed it. We decided we are going to hold to the teaching, and it changed our lives. The power is in the word. It's not presentation. It's not how well you can articulate messages and know the Greek, and all that is good and great. The word in the heart of someone who's seeking That's where real change comes from. Now, again, you can't just hear the word. You got to do what it says, which is my other part of this message or conviction. Has not my hand, Isaiah 66:2, has not my hand made all these things, and so that they came into being? God is saying, declares the Lord, these are the ones. This is what God is saying. He's talking, these are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. That impresses God. And so if we get the word in us, or the word gets into our friends and our family, the word gets into our community, great things can happen. Great things can happen. You know, when I think about what God has done in my life, it's crazy. Because, yeah, I had completely different plans. But to realize he chose me and my family. And now when I look at see what's happened, wow. God, you, wow. You got a sense of humor, for sure. But you are amazing. He chose Sari to be my wife. He gave us Blair and Mason. He rescued us from the path we were on, and he placed us in his kingdom. To seek him and to seek his will. You know how I see God? God's my faithful friend. God's my good, good father who has my best interest. And in that interest, oh, you're going to get some lumps. You're going to get some bloody noses. You're going to get nicked up. You're going to get hurt by people. Or somebody's going to rear end you. But it's all under his control. God is our faithful Heavenly Father, church, who keeps his promises. Let's not lose sight of that. He keeps his promises. He is faithful. Do you see him that way? Have you experienced his faithfulness in your life to just stop you to say, oh my goodness, I am just so blessed. I think we need to take more time to just do that. You get into that attitude, you start, if you're complaining about stuff, and you know, just stop. God, help me remember. Help me remember how great you are. Secondly, gratitude for the church family. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You know, one of the things I love about our church is we have teams. We have all kinds of teams. We have an usher team. We have an AV team. We have a children's ministry team. We have a staff team. And, you know, being around for almost 35 years in the ministry and then out of the ministry, you get to experience all of these teams in different ways, shapes, and form. And I tell you, one of the teams that really get me are the preteens and young teens. So, you know, Sari and I used to direct the camp, and we worked with the camp for about 22 years. And so in some of the years, we had the kids write letters to God, okay? We had them write letters to God. Why? Well, what are we trying to do? We're trying to inspire them for the future. We're trying to help make these future little disciples. And so they wrote letters to God because, you know, they had this week at camp, and we wanted them to capture that moment. So I've been, you know, holding on to some of these letters for a long time, like over a decade. And one of my I'm determined to get them to every kid. So I see some of you here, you're going to get your letter or give it to your parent. But one of the things that I love about the church is when you understand that you belong here. I tell you, my grandmothers have done a phenomenal job in making us kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids, and great-great-great-grandkids feel like they belong. So when you walk into grandma's house, you become the center of attention. And you get this, look who's here. And grandma does this thing, and she says, the gate is closing, the gate, and she opens her arms, and then they see the gate is closing, and then they run on over there, and they get their big hug from grandma before the gate closes. And I love it. We've been on some amazing teams here. You know, I think about the teen ministry, the campus ministry, the young singles. You know, this past summer, we've had our third year of doing the summer series, right? We had our group in Passaic. Are they in the house? It's Passaic County. What about Hudson County? Is Hudson County in the house? What about Bergen County? Right? Planting Christ in our communities. Is Union County in the house? Right? What about Essex County? Yeah. Yeah. Guys, I want to encourage us to remember when people come into our community, they see something special. And the specialness is that they see Christ. They see something that's, these people aren't, they look different. There's the age discrepancy. They're, you know, they're technologically challenged. I mean, but there's something special. There's something special. The Gold Coast. The Gold Coast. We had a little reunion. Let me tell you. The Gold Coast grew us up. They took the little 20-something, 3-year-old, 24-year-old couple, and they made us feel like we could do anything. They were supportive. They are part of our maturity. And I'm so grateful for that team. We were asked to go to Africa in 2002. And we were fired up. Well, I was fired up. Sari had to get fired up. She had to get fired up, to be honest. But what happened was they asked us to write a will, because we were flying and we were going to visit, like, you know, a few places in Africa, and, you know. And so I was like, oh, we need a will? Oh, this is serious. Like, I thought we would, you know, we're gonna have fun, you know, we're gonna go see the disciples, and yeah, but something could happen. When we wrote our will, we said something would have happened to us. Who would we want to raise Blair and Mason? I'm sorry, Mason wasn't even here. Who was gonna raise Blair? Masons, the Gills. Wasn't family, though they could have. But what we wanted is what we experienced in this community. When you got that kind of bond And that kind of connection, that's special. That's kind of weird. You know, we told one of our family members and they were hot. And we learned a lesson. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. That was a lesson. Learn. But we've had teams. We had mentors. We're still together today. We have this staff. Guys, let me say one thing too. You know, please be as supportive, in fact, even more supportive of our staff here in New Jersey. Because they need you to help raise their hands up. And again, I know this is, again, a lot of change, but boy, we really got to help the church. And I look at these pictures, and I look at our efforts to plant community, Christ in our communities. Part of what people need to see is our love for one another. But they won't see it if they don't come. They won't see it if they're not invited. They won't see it if we're not doing things intentionally to help people come and see what we're all about. I do want to take a moment, and I want to thank a few people. Bruce and Linda Nussbaum, Manny and Krista Ibrahim, James and Nina Frencia Moore. If you were ever a camp counselor for teen or camp preteen camp, just stand up for a minute. Counselor. Stand up. Stand up. If you were ever a teen worker, stand up. Preteen worker, stand up. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Because your efforts, your work has not been in vain. I want to ask a few of the young folks to come up here. Kamali. Yeah, come on. Daniel, come on. Rosie. You know, as I said, we had these preteens and young teens write letters to God. And so today, I asked them, come on up, guys. Come on over, all the way over. I asked them. Now, Daniel and Rosie have not opened their letters. So they're opening them for the first time. Kamali opened hers already. She's going to read it. But I thought, I want you to hear how God's worked in their lives from, you know, where they were. So Kamali's going to go, and then Rosie, and then.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. So I'm going to be sharing my letter. I'm 22 now, so I wrote this when I was 11. July 10th, 2014. And I was 11, so I did mention some things that didn't make sense, but here we go. Okay. Dear God, I want to have a boyfriend in high school. Why did we write this? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's okay. I love you so much. I wish I could see you right now. I don't want to have an age to be baptized, but I want God to plan my age to get baptized. At least I want to have 3 kids. 2 of them are twins. 1 of them are regular. Making sense. Yeah. I want to marry someone that is a disciple. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so maybe things won't go bad in the next few years. I want to have a better life from what the people shared from camp. I want to own a big house that I will never sell, and I will also want an iPhone 5 with a cool case on it. I got an iPhone, so... Oh my gosh. Okay. And then I just added a scripture. It says, P.S., the scripture has helped me very much. It was actually in the video. It says, know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. P.S., this influenced me. Surprise. So, yeah. Amen.
Hi, guys. I have two here. I don't know. Do I have to read them both?
No, just one.
Okay. Okay. I'll read this one from 2014 when I was 10 years old. Okay. Dear God, when I grow up, I want to be a chef, run my own bakery, and be a zookeeper. Please don't let me get into bad habits. Please let me do what I want. Please let me be free like a bird. Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
All right, let's open this. I don't know what year this is from, but preteen camp, so probably around that same time as Rosie and Kamali's letter. Dear God, hey, it's me, Dan I. Here are some goals and dreams that I have in my life that I'd like to tell you. When I'm in high school, I want to get baptized in, I didn't have the greatest handwriting. Wait, in, oh, okay. I want to get baptized in you, God, in Christ. Another goal is to marry a female disciple. another goal I have is to have good grades, like I already have. So I want to maintain my good grades. I also want to get into a good college, get a good job, but most of all, I want to do everything for you, God. Even if I can't achieve all of my dreams, please help me remember you are God, and no matter what, I will worship you. Wow. Yeah. From Dan I, Cabin B5, New York, New Jersey Ministry.
Wow. Hey. That's awesome. Wow, that was incredible. So Russ asked me to jump in and share at this point because this is going to be the last time you'll hear from me. But, you know, I've been studying out Psalms all summer, and I know the East Ministry knows about this because I've been sharing it each time I've done the welcome or anything. But one of the scriptures that, thank you so much, guys. You have been such a blessing to us. In 21:6, Psalm 21:6 says, surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with joy in your presence. And that's exactly how I feel. I feel so blessed. I mean, I'm seeing the blessings. We found so many of these cards, letters, as we were just packing, and they were coming out of everywhere. You know, they were just in all different parts of the house, you know. And I'm so grateful, but it's just been such a blessing. Even just yesterday, we had 15 brothers show up to help us move. We officially moved to Somerville. And it was just great, you know, having you there in our living room. And of course, we're crying. Russ is like, what's going to happen tomorrow, you know? And so we're thankful for that. Then we go over to Somerville, and then there's a group of Central people in Mercer, and they're there, and they helped us unload and set up our house. And the house that we live in is actually a house my father gave us years ago. And that woman that you've seen baptized, 101 years old, my stepmama, that's where they lived, and we live there now. So it's just a full circle of unending blessings. And guess what? They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming in our lives. They're going to keep coming in your lives. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for your love, you know, for helping raise us up. You know, the only way I know sometimes to get through my emotions is to sing. So I just have a few little bars of something, fun bars of something that you can help me with. But I want to say that if you struggle, just know that God is with you. You know, that's what he's for, right? And, you know, if you need each other, we can't be there, but you'll be there for each other, right? Well, sometimes you can call us. We're 45 minutes away. But, just know if you ever have something and we're available, we'll be there. So here's a little three-part something. And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I've got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today. And then if you can remember, okay, sing with me. Keep shining, keep smiling, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for good times. And bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. Oh, that's what friends are for. Keep smiling. Keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for good times. And bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. And I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. And you guys know I like parties, so. And if you're through a party, and invite everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being my friend. Amen.
That was great. All right, we're gonna wrap this up. We're gonna wrap it up. Philippians 1:6. This is my last point. Confidence in God's future. You know, brothers and sisters, it has been so encouraging because there's one thing to be a part of something, and then there's another thing when you get to watch it grow. Because you know that, wow, this actually works. And you see people like Sari and I who came in single, broken homes, become one, endure, figure out your why, see how you fit in, see how you got these gifts and talents, and then you get to use it, and then you help somebody else, and then it keeps going. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, it is so encouraging to see where the Garden State Church is going, where the New York City Church is going. I can't wait to sit in Mercer and see all that God is going to continue to do. The new people that raise up. And I'm not just talking about the ministry. That's going to happen. But raise up in our communities. You know, on the right, there was Liz as an 18-year-old college student. Became a Christian. And then this past summer, watching her and Eric see their two sons become Christians. You got to see it. Not just talk. You got to see it. Some of you know Nick Gabber-Arthur, Gold Coast, Jersey City. Remember, Nick was also in the campus ministry back in the day. Now you see Nick got the gray-white thing going on too. And there he is standing next to his daughter, Liz, who just became a Christian 2 weeks ago. Guys, there's something about seeing it that makes it more believable. Doesn't stop there. Part of the success of what's going to happen in the future is right there, life teams. If you are not in a life team, you are missing out on the part that helps make it go. The visionary life team does this. They keep Christ at the center. They love one another deeply. And they keep reaching the lost with the gospel. You know, Corinne became a Christian in the 90s. Jeremy, her brother who shared today, as he shared, he got baptized in 2022. You know, Jeremy's been around the church as a teenager. Right? Yeah, he was tough. He's tough. But then I remember when he became a Christian, and then a year later, he baptized his wife, Shireem. And Shireem, I know you're watching. We love you. A year later. And then, as he said just a few weeks ago, his brother Joel, who's in the back. Joel, stand up. There you go. Yeah, there's your newest brother in Christ right there. But part of why I'm saying that is because it's all happened in the same life team. The visionary life team has grown since 2018 every single year. And it's not about numbers, please, but it's about a group of people remaining focused, remembering, what is this all about? Oh, having a blast together. But then that gospel is continually being shared. I want to leave you with this thought today, because I don't know where you are in your journey. You know, you might be feeling hopeless because things haven't worked out the way you want them to work out. I want to encourage you to hold on, because our God is faithful. Okay? And the clock is ticking, right? But our God is faithful. The other thing I want to encourage us to remember is that the power is in the Word. You can't make somebody become a Christian. You can't get results. One of my dear friends would say, all we can do is plant and water, God makes it grow. That's all I can control. That's all you can control. You can plant as much as you want, but if you think, oh, if I do this, then this is what's going to happen, you're not in control. It doesn't work that way. And God might be frustrating you because you got your equation and formula. So let that go. We plant, we water, God makes it grow. But here's the key, Garden State Church. Are we learning? Are we continuing to learn? Are we being learners? I want to close out with this video. And it's a personal video. But it's a question that I was taught because the children's ministry would say, hey, well, one of the ways that you can reinforce what's being taught in class is to know what is being taught in class. So at the end of church, and when you're home, have a conversation. What did you learn today? And I think, again, we can benefit from that. So here is a little personal, practical question. What did I learn today?
So, Blair, what are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm eating my ice cream.
And you're eating your ice cream. Okay.
Blair!
And where were you at earlier today?
At church.
Yeah? Tell me what you learned in your class.
About Joseph.
What about him?
Well, first, Joseph, he was, his brothers took his coat off and threw him in a hole. And when he threw him in a hole, his brothers took him to these two men, and these two men took him to somebody's house, and then after that, somebody told a lie on him.
Really?
A girl told a lie on him, and she was the king. So then, Joseph had to go to jail. And after that, he was happy because he was in charge to get out to jail.
And
that was all.
Daddy.
The end.
And Mason, what was your class about today?
And my class was about Joseph. And Joseph threw him in the box and in the hole. And Joseph got out and he go and he go to Nineveh and he go on a horse, then he get out. That's great. But that's the end.
I learned some things there. We got to keep on asking that question. No, I love that video because, church, we got to keep learning. Here's my final say, let's stay firm in the Lord. Let's love one another deeply. But most importantly, let's keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Garden State Church. Love you.